accession number 17285, reel 2.
Mr. Caswell, reel 2. Were any of the citizens in Caen hostile?
No.
Were any of them pro-German?
There was one or two that the women had the head shaved, you know, all the hair shaved off.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
What did the soldiers feel about that?
That didn't bother them. They used to laugh about it.
Did any of the citizens show annoyance because of the bombing and the destruction?
No, no. They were pleased to see us.
What happened to you after Caen?
We were pulled back for a shower, which consisted of a big tin biscuit and a ladder up the steps and pouring water on the right, and that was it. And then we reorganized, then went into attack again.
Where was that?
I can't remember which village it was. We went further ahead, out of France into Belgium.
Had you got reinforcements by now? Fresh troops?
Yeah.
Which parts of the country had they come from?
I didn't bother.
Were most of the men in the battalion from Shropshire?
Not really. When we first joined up in Tenby in South Wales, the number of men in the same room as me were all from Stoke-on-Trent.
Did you know any of them?
No.
So, after Caen, you pushed through France?
Yeah.
Quickly?
We are now at Vimy Ridge. This was the time of Arnhem, which, as we know, was a flop. So, we were mounted on the TCVs, and we went non-stop from Arnhem into Antwerp. We were the first troops to liberate Antwerp.
What was the liberation of Antwerp like?
Fantastic. Kisses and sweets and flowers and tell me you come and have tea with me. And
did you? Did you go and have tea?
Couldn't. And that was where I had the pleasure of marching about 80 German soldiers into the zoo in Antwerp.
Can you describe it? What happened?
We were quite excited, really, because we were in a town now. To see, you know, civilians and people, etc. Quite excited. Until we were leaving Antwerp and we had trouble in the Albert Canal. We lost a lot of men there, and the platoon that I commanded was the only platoon that didn't manage to get across the canal. But the other two platoons that did had to come back.
strength of the Germans who were opposing you?
Very, very strong.
Were they in houses or what, trenches or what?
In the streets and houses, anywhere.
Why couldn't your platoon get across?
Because we must have picked a spot where they were heavily defended. We lost a lot of men.
Were you in charge of the platoon?
Yeah.
What kind of support did you have?
Well, the best that they could get. The Herefords one side, the Mons and the in the middle.
But did you have tanks and artillery to support you?
No, the tanks were there, but of course not in the main streets, and not until eventually you could get through. They did eventually get through the tanks, right? But most of the Germans were in buildings, and one of the main offices of the German soldiers, the headquarters was in Antwerp itself, in a big building, which we shelled and cleared them all out, and I finished up in the zoo with them, marching them in the zoo.
Did you eventually get across the Albert Canal?
Yeah, eventually. Yeah. After losing a lot of men.
Were you using boats?
Yeah.
What kind of boats?
Pontoon boats. And eventually they put a bridge across.
I think one thing that we've missed out earlier on in Normandy.
Yeah.
Was at Le Grand Bonfait,
yeah,
on the 4th of August 1944.
Yeah.
What happened then?
We were attacked by the German tanks. And they were successful in what they were doing. They knocked out a lot of our tanks. I saw men jumping out of tanks on fire. I saw men jumping out of tanks with limbs off.
What were your positions like at that time?
Well, it was very heavy.
Were you dug in trenches,
yeah,
or what?
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of terrain was it? What kind of countryside?
Fields and hedges.
How long did it go on for? At Le Grand Bonfait?
About 3 days.
What did you think of the German tanks?
Frightening. Very frightening.
Were they better than our tanks?
Yeah.
How did that battle come to an end?
Couldn't really say.
Were you injured then yourself? Were you wounded?
No.
What did you think of the performance of your platoon?
Well, we did our best to defend ourselves.
Did you have anti-tank weapons?
Only, there were tanks over there.
Did you have anti-tank guns in your...
Only a Piat, projector infantry anti-tank, which guaranteed to knock a tank out.
Did you use it yourself?
No. Sergeant Harrison did knock a tank out with it, and he was awarded some medal.
Did you see him do it?
No.
What did you think of the Piat?
Well, I had every confidence in him. On one occasion, I had leading one platoon, I had a pistol, Ben Gunn, and a Piat, because I was a leading company out in the front. And I thought, well, if tanks come, I've got my Piat here, bang, bang, bang.
Was that in Normandy?
No. Belgium.
But were the Piats effective against German tanks?
Yeah.
How close did you have to get?
30 yards.
Did you ever do that yourself?
No.
What kind of a kick did the Piat have? Kick back?
Very strong.
Could it damage you?
No.
Now, coming back to Belgium, you were talking about crossing the Albert Canal.
Yeah.
What happened to you after this? Did you go into the Netherlands?
Yeah. Went all through France, through Belgium, now we're going into Holland.
What happened there?
We had one or two different skirmishes. We were heading for some village, the name I can't remember. The intelligence officer came to me. I was leading a platoon at the time, and the intelligence officer came to me and said, we've just come over intercom, stay where we are, don't move. We were riding in TCVs at the time, and I was in an ordinary army truck. The officer was riding in a Bren carrier. His name was Captain Bourdillon. 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 Later on, he said, we have no instructions to move on further to reference map so and so and so and so. And he said, lead the way and I'll follow you. Then he said, better still, follow me. In the vehicle, he was in his Bren carrier. He was standing up at the front in his Bren carrier, and he went over a landmine. The Bren carrier went straight over, upside down. The men were trapped in it. One of the dispatch riders had part of his face blown away. I got all the platoon out of the TCV, and we managed to tip the Bren carrier back on its tracks. The first thing I saw was a brown boot and a leg. The second thing I saw was Captain Bourdillon. He was dead. I sent a message over the intercom to say what had happened. And we rendezvoused at the place we got to go to.
Whereabouts was this?
I think it was somewhere in Belgium. Maybe Belgium or Holland, a long time ago, isn't it?
Was it before or after the crossing of the Albert Canal?
After. I think. I can't just remember.
What kind of an officer was Captain Baudouin?
The intelligence officer.
Was he a good officer?
Yeah. He had been wounded before. But if I remember rightly, I think he had a bullet in his body. And he came back again.
So he was the battalion intelligence officer?
Yeah.
What happened next?
Not really. We must have rendezvoused at some place, and I remember there was about 4 TCVs going to this rendezvous, and I was in the truck. That is the first TCV, and the second TCV had a direct hit. They let the first one through, we got the second one. No, a lot of men were wounded on that particular occasion.
Now, you were talking earlier about this America place in November 1944.
Yeah.
Where was this America?
It was the outskirts of Holland. The next town would have been Venlo, Germany.
So it was on the borders of the Netherlands
that's
and Germany.
Right. Yeah.
Why was it called America?
Well, why is it called them? it's spelled different than it's spelled with a K, isn't it?
But was it an army name or was it the actual local?
No, the actual village. It was a village.
Was it the actual local name?
Yeah.
Can you take me through what happened on that day? 22nd of November at America?
Well, before that date, they seemed to pick on me to go out on patrols. I think it's mentioned there, isn't it? Or on the other one, the citation. Then, on one patrol we went on, there was an officer in charge, and I was a sergeant in charge of the men, and a corporal, and privates. There was about 8 of us. And I said to the officer, this is a night patrol, by the way, night patrol. The idea was to go out and capture a German prisoner. And I said to the officer, I would like to lay down one condition, sir. And he said, what's that? I said that when we all rendezvous at this spot, after, that if anybody's missing, we go and find them. And he agreed. After we were fired up by the Germans, but we never saw them, we rendezvoused at this place, and there was one man missing. His name was Corporal Parry, P-A-R-R-Y. I then said to the officer, "Sir, we have one man missing. We agreed to go and find him." But he said, "If we go, we're all liable to get killed." So we went back to where we were billeted. The next morning, Major Thorburn, my company commander, sent for me and he said, "I believe that you wanted an agreement if anyone was missing that we found them." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, you have my permission now to take two men and a stretcher and go and find him. This is in the daylight." So I went out with two men, found the place where we were, and there was Corporal Parry dead. And we brought him back.
Were you under fire?
No. The Germans had gone. We didn't know that, of course. Nobody fired on us. They must have scarpered.
And this was near America?
No, this is before America.
Was it anywhere near America?
No, I don't think so, no. 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 Yeah. See, there's so many different little places that, you know, you just didn't... Places like Antwerp and Venlo were stood out in your memory, but like Le Bonnefay and places like that, you know, you're liable to forget.
When you went out with this patrol, did you actually capture a German?
No. No Germans inside. They're gone.
So how had Parry been killed?
Well, he was killed in the hours of 11 p.m. or 2300 hours, and I found him at about 8 a.m. the next morning.
Was this very long before America?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Weeks before, you mean?
Yeah.
So what happened on the 22nd of November 1944?
Major Thorburn sent for me and he said, "Sergeant Cattle, I want you to take over 18 platoon. We're putting an attack in at dawn at a place called America. The reason being that Sergeant Harrison has unfortunately had an accident and he's had to go back into the hospital with this bullet." And I said to him, "Sir, I was due to go and leave tomorrow in Brussels, the first break we've had since we arrived here." He said, "Well, you can have your break after this attack." So I commanded 18th Platoon. Major Thorburn was ill with, I think it was either measles or diphtheria. My officer was Captain Mike Sayer, S-A-Y-E-R. Who took over from Major Thorburn. during this attack, we were losing men because we were in the middle of a minefield. I was the leading platoon. I said to Captain Sayer, "Sir, we can't go on like this. We'll have no one left. We're losing men." And he said, "We've got to get into America by so many hundred hours." I was in a dike, standing with water up to my navel. One of my men in front of me had just had a leg blown off. This lad was 18 years of age. I went to get out of the dike to go and put his tourniquet on. I put my left arm on the bank to get out of the water. Woof! I had hit a shoe mine, S-H-C-U. Everywhere was dark. I thought, "Christ, I'm blind." My eyesight came back, then I couldn't do the thing, I was deaf. Then I looked around and thought, "I've lost my arm." My arm was completely blown off, right through the elbow. I was standing up. I said to the lads, "Come on, find my arm. I have a gold signet ring on, which my wife bought me when we just got married." I looked, they thought I was crazy. Nobody offered to look. Then I said to the next senior corporal, "It's all yours, mate. All the best. I'll be home for Christmas." And I walked back on my own about 300 or 400 yards through the minefield, which I could have trailed mine, but I knew I'd got to get back to the RAP, Regimental Aid Post, with lots of blood. I got one of the men to put my tourniquet on, because there was lots of blood, and I noticed the time was 06:30 hours a.m. I managed to get onto a road, and what should be coming up was a weasel. Now a weasel is like a Ben gun, only smaller. It can almost climb up a wall. And I'm coming the left. The driver stopped and he said, "What's the trouble, mate?" "Oh," I said, "did you ask?" Showing him my injury. "Oh," he said, I can't help," he said, "I'm falling." It was full of men that had lost limbs and very badly wounded. And I said, "If I can get on..."